The response of faith. Here on this first Sunday in Lent, we turn to the book of Romans. Here in the beginning chapters of Paul's great theological epistle to the church at Rome, he clearly outlined God's provision and redemption. In these verses of our lesson today, Paul tells us that we, you and I, the audience, the reader and the listener of God's amazing and bountiful plan of salvation, demands a response. It demands something of us to get up and do, to go out and tell, to do something. Paul explained that to know God alone was not enough. To know and fail to act was fatal. For God's redemptive movement to have meaning, people must respond to it by faith in Christ Jesus. In other words, you and I need to get busy living out our faith. While theoretically today one might be saved, achieve righteousness by the law, but practically speaking, this was impossible because the law demanded perfect obedience, an impossible task for imperfect humanity, people like you and I. It can't happen. So our only hope is to accept in faith what God has done in Christ Jesus. In verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, Paul contrasts these concepts. We cannot save ourselves. Therefore, we are provided with the Savior by God's gracious act. The only demand of us is that we listen to the gospel and respond to it in the proper way. And the proper response is laid out clearly in verses 9 and 10 of the 10th chapter here of Romans. To miss the poetic construction of these verses is to miss half the message. In verse 8, Paul quotes from Deuteronomy 30, the 30th chapter, verse 14. He's making a play on the phrase, in thy mouth and in thy heart. In a characteristic form of Hebrew poetry, which is parallelism, Paul repeats the same thought in different words and in reverse order. He flips them around. So we have the series, mouth, heart, heart, mouth. Matching this series is yet another confessing, believing, believing, confessing. Paul was not writing about two different ideas, but about one, the word of faith. You see, in Paul's mind, when one believed, one confessed. If you believe something, you confess it before God and others. Paul never grants the possibility that one could believe and not confess. You see, Paul's own experience formed the background for his teaching. In the beginning, Paul believed the gospel to be a lie and Jesus was an imposter. See, Paul was not the Paul that you and I read about. Paul was a bad guy. His name was Saul, and he ran around killing people, and he didn't like Christians, and he persecuted them. And he didn't believe in this Jesus character at all. He thought he was an imposter. But Paul had a dramatic encounter on the Damascus Road that changed his life forever. His conversion with the risen Lord convinced him that Jesus did indeed rise from the grave. And so Paul believed. And what was his response? It was confession with his mouth. Lord, he said in Acts chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, he says, what wilt thou have me do? Lord, what will you have me do? Spiritual apprehension of the reality of the resurrection demanded immediate and unconditional surrender. In other words, Paul had to surrender to God right then. Surrender to Christ and let Him know. The confession cannot precede belief in the resurrection. Belief could not be real without acknowledgement of His Lordship. Although centuries away from this historical event, our problem too often is that Christianity has become a mere physiological discussion that people sit around and talk about. For many, mental assent to propositional truth is all that is needed. Belief has become reciting a creed or repeating a formula. You see, the meaning of Christianity has been lost because it has been removed from the heart to the mind. Heart to mind, mind to heart. You see, when we remove things from our heart and put them in our mind, and we just have a head knowledge of something, we've lost the greatest part. You see, there's nothing wrong with us saying creeds, the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, reciting things, knowing things. Those things help us in our faith. They help us to grow. But you see, there and having a head knowledge, but the thing about it is the heart is where our faith lies. Our faith lies within our heart. To confess means to acknowledge, to own, to declare a thing to be true. What is to be confessed? The Lord is Jesus Christ. That's it. In contrast to that pagan belief, Caesar is Lord, many of them said of that day. Christians were to confess Jesus as Lord. Let us stress the fact that faith demands the absolute lordship of Christ. Christ in our lives. Christ in our heart. Jesus is Lord is the one and oldest expressions of the Christian faith. Paul insisted that only the Holy Spirit can enable us to say this. The Holy Spirit tells us that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord of our life. In verses 11, 12, and 13 today of the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul made clear that this salvation was offered to who? To everyone. To all of us. To each and everyone, no matter Jew or Greek, slave or free. Good, bad, rich, poor, it's offered to all of us. Quotations from Isaiah 28:16 and Joel 2:32 emphasize that God saves all people by like means. The key word is whosoever. There's a saying going around in t-shirts going around that says, I'm the whosoever. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever. The key word there is whosoever. Surely meaneth me. Meaneth you. Believing on the Lord and calling on Him are synonymous, as are shall not be ashamed and to be saved. Paul said you shall not be ashamed of your love for Jesus, because God says if you're ashamed of me, you need to turn and go on away. You've turned from me. But do not be ashamed and be saved. Just as bread is composed of several elements, with none of them individually being bread, so it is with faith. Believing in the truth of the gospel, surrendering to the lordship of Christ, and living an obedient life must be fused into one essential reality to produce saving faith. See, all we got to do is believe. And then when we believe, what do we have to do? We have to confess it. And when we confess it, what do? We begin to live it. So this day is our response of faith is to believe. To confess, and to tell. Let us pray. Our Lord and Savior, this day we come before Your throne of grace, thanking You, Lord, for all that You give us, all that You have allowed us to be, all, Lord, that go before us this day, for the words of the writers of the hymns that have gone before us. Wow, what an amazing thing to have happen. We hear those words again and again in new songs coming forth, in new renditions, in new ways of playing and singing and doing. And we're hearing that story. And Lord, we should be willing to love to tell that story and want to tell that story of Jesus and His love. You see, I love to tell the story for what it means to me, for what it's done for me, for how, Lord, it has changed my life. So, Lord, this day You have called all of us to respond to that faith, to go forth in all that we do and tell others. It's all of our jobs, Lord, as Your children, to go and to tell, to go and be, to live our life as an example of Your children, as one of Your children, as a child of God. To be careful how we speak and what we do, what we say in this world that we live in. So many times our faith is in the things we say and do when others that we don't know are watching. The things that we post, the things that we remark and reply to, the words we use to describe something on our Facebook stuff. I see a lot of stuff that comes my way, many that sit in here this day. And sometimes I'm not real happy with what I hear when I read it, with what I see. And I don't embarrass them, I just private message most of them and I'll say, is that really what you meant? Is that really how you feel? Is that, are those words necessary to describe that? There are so many words in the English language. How in the world and why do we have to revert to using something that is so unworthy of who God called you to be? Lord, we all need to be careful. We all need to be very, very careful of what it is you have called us to be and do, of how we respond to the world we live in, of what we do that's all around us. So, Lord, our response to faith this day, what will it be? What will it be when we leave this place this day? Open our hearts so that we can see. Amen. Our response this morning, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 156. Hymn number 156, I love to tell the story.